Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 27th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you here. And John Martellaro, it's always great to have you here. How are you?
Why, thank you. I am just fine. Good morning.
Excellent. That's as it should be. Well, hey, as long as we are both here, Brian, we've been kind of talking a little bit about Apple and electric cars, and so I thought we should kind of dive into this a little bit more, because right now we have this report that Apple's been talking with the companies that make the charging stations, and so that tells me that Apple is at least to a point with their electric car project where they need to think about how people are going to get power into these things.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. I would put it more like it turns out Apple understands that if you're going to have an electric car, you need to charge it, so they need to talk to someone at some point. I don't know if they're at the point where they need to do that so much as this is something that's got to be figured out.
All right, I'll accept that. But regardless, they're supposedly talking with the companies that are making the charging stations. They've done some hiring related to car charging as well. And so now we have potentially a situation where we may have yet another standard for connecting cars to charging stations.
Yeah, really, it wouldn't be a standard.
No, I don't think so. There's already a North American standard for the... Are you talking about the standard for the connector, the gadget that plugs into the car? That's called SAJ1772.
Well, that's a sexy name.
Yes, it is, and it's a standard for North American chargers. And all electric cars that are built in America use that standard, and I think it's used in Europe
Tesla
as well. Well, Tesla is a little different. Tesla has their own charger. So when you buy a Tesla, you get a connector for free that allows you to access the standard charging stations as opposed to the Tesla charging stations.
Well, that was Jeff's original point, is that it's not so much that we're going to have another standard on the market as we're talking about Apple, a company that is known for use of proprietary connectors.
Ah, yes. But I don't see that happening. I see Apple wanting to be a standard in this respect.
What?
Yes, there's already a well established standard. For Apple to come out with a third standard would muddy the waters greatly. I've written about this, and I just saw an article this morning that I had overlooked. It said EV charging, the time for a single fast charging standard is now. This is from January 2016, from cleantechnica.com. I think it's very important, if the electric car industry is to proceed forward apace, that we do not muddy the waters with a third charging standard.
Yeah, are you just now meeting Apple? Are you kidding me? You actually think that Apple is going to be out there embracing standards?
Yes.
When Tesla has shown that there are better ways to do it,
Apple wants to.
Tesla.
I don't believe.
There are so many times when I sort of tease you about
Tesla
disagreeing with you.
The way to outdo Tesla is not to develop their own another standard. The way to outdo Tesla is to become more mainstream and more easy to use.
John, are you?
I need to get popcorn so I can watch this.
What has happened here? You found the app. I'm going a tad apoplectic.
You're coming late into the market. There's also already the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Bolt
About Apple. Apple always comes late to the market, and when they do, they bring their own toys. So listen.
iPod, iPhone.
I think I actually,
so you buy a new Apple car, you go to the showroom and you go to buy this new Apple car, and there's 13,000 standard charging stations in North America. And you say, okay, here's my $51,000 check. Where do I charge this car? Well, in your garage. You're going to have to pay $600 to have a charging station attached to your power junction in your garage. Or where else can I charge you when I'm out and about? Well, actually, nowhere. You can drive into the San Francisco store and
we'll charge
there.
You're making a scientist argument for why Apple should do this that is completely devoid of who and what Apple is.
Now, John, Tesla isn't having this problem, and they have a proprietary charger.
They also have a fleet of charging stations already out there that they have put significant effort in there.
Well, one of the things that's you got to remember in the context of an electric car and driving a Tesla, for people who don't have one or haven't explored it, is when you get into your Tesla and you want to go more than 20 miles, you punch in the coordinates of where you want to go. And the car comes back to you and says, yes, I can get you there because I can divert you to a charging station and we'll have plenty of power to get you where you want to go eventually. But if you punch in a coordinate that's such that the trip pattern is not within reach of a charging station and you're going to run out of power, it says, I can't take you there. Now, I think you can override that and do it anyway, but one of the things we have to get used to in these electric cars is deciding where we want to go and letting the car tell us whether we can get there or not. And
John, man, listen, this is how it's actually going
to
go down.
Apple can't put up enough charging stations to solve this problem fast enough.
This is how it will go down. This is our new Apple car, and you're going to be able to charge it 2.5 times faster than other electric cars out there. And if you're lucky, we will deign to make an adapter for you to use those slow charging stations. That's how Apple would introduce this thing.
Which is pretty much what Tesla has done.
Yeah.
But don't forget, they're coming into this market in the year 2020. When there's already a million electric cars on the road.
They come into every market late. Apple doesn't break markets. Apple doesn't create markets. It breaks them open.
Well, as we were talking about before the show, it's one thing to come out with an adapter for an iPhone because you've got a billion users of iOS devices and you've got clout. But when the industry is delicately moving forward and people have their doubts about electric cars and they have what's called range anxiety, which is a feature of buying an electric car, you've got to assure people that they're going to be able to not get stranded and to come out and say, we're going to build all these charging stations that are special because, wow, you can charge your car 2.5 times faster. I mean, this industry is going to go through phases, and one of the phases is you charge it in your garage. You drive to work, and you come home, and you charge it in your garage overnight again. And we're not anywhere near the situation where people are routinely driving their electric cars everywhere, carefree, all over the place, and have a proliferation of fast charging stations. That's going to take another decade before that's dominant. When you come out at first, you have to solve the problem of people's concern of buying an electric car and running out of power. And that's having a standard. Having leveraging off of the stations that are already there seems to me like a smart way to ease your way into the market.
Now, listen, it could well be a smart way to do it. As a matter of fact, I actually think that Apple should do that. I posit that unlike with smartphones, the cost of charging stations and the importance of charging stations makes a standard, makes even perhaps a legislated standard make more sense, even mm-hmm. though it would keep companies like Apple or Tesla from being as nimble as they could. However, I don't think for a second Apple will actually do it. I think that Apple will absolutely have its own standard for charging, its own technology for charging, and that it will try to make that a selling point. And if we, the consumer, are lucky, they will deign to make an adapter. If
so, Brian. I'm with you most of the way. I think Apple is going to do a proprietary charger, and I think they have to because they cannot roll out a car that charges at half the speed as a Tesla. Now, the other side of that is that I think Apple will give us the adapter so that we can charge our Apple cars at the regular stations so that it expands the range that you can take an Apple car. But everyone, just like with a Tesla, will know I'm only charging half as fast.
Yeah, well, but I could just – okay, I hear you. You're probably correct. I could just see Apple sort of being arrogant and getting this one wrong. This is one of those things where Apple tends to sort of like screw up a little bit.
How many charging stations would you have to, let's say Apple sells optimistically 200,000 cars the first year it's out.
Not going to happen.
How many? Right. Oh, what do you think the number would be?
Way lower.
So if they don't sell enough cars to justify putting in all these stations, what's going to happen is they're not going to sell very many cars, and then they're going to figure they don't have to put very many stations in, so the stations are going to be far apart, and it's just going to fall flat. The way to do this is to sell a whole lot of cars and put in a whole lot of stations, and a whole lot of stations is going to cost a whole lot of money in order to come in and dominate the market and sort of obliterate the current industry. I don't see that happening either.
Yeah, Apple's not going to dominate the car industry either.
No, they're going to. Well, then they
Apple's going to have a piece of it. It's probably going to be the most expensive.
Well, that proves my point. They have to go along to get along, and so they have to comply with the standards. And that's why there's talk.
That's not what Apple does. You're making the scientist argument. Apple doesn't ever make the scientist argument.
This is a different marketplace. This is not iPhone marketplace where they get to call the shots.
I just don't see.
That's all Apple does is call the shots.
Well, they will call the shots in many ways in this car, in its design and its features and
how it charges.
How the hardware integrates with the software. But I don't see them trying to. Well, here's the other thing is that if there were a technology that allows you to charge your car two or three times faster than what we could do now, how does Apple develop this technology with current batteries? And why hasn't Tesla already done it? And what does Apple know that Tesla doesn't know?
That's a fantastic question because the reality is that Tesla probably knows more than Apple does about batteries, mm-hmm. at least for car batteries. Mm-hmm. Apple has done a lot of work with its battery suppliers. Apple is a battery leader on the small scale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apple also invested in Tesla's open source ish battery project.
Yes, and that is an open source thing, so Apple could Apple could actually go the route, and this would be kind of I don't think Apple would do this either. Apple could go the Tesla route and actually use the Tesla connector and with the Tesla adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, slip in that way. But I cannot see Apple releasing a car that charges as fast as a Chevy Volt.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. That just doesn't seem like the Apple way, especially because Tesla would be charging their cars twice as fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brian, I'm with you. Mostly, because I think Apple is going to include the standard charger adapter.
This is where I'm with John. If Apple does a proprietary standard, it should release the adapter. I can just see Apple not doing that, but it should. And John's arguments are absolutely logical from another standpoint. Maybe what Apple should do, and I actually intend to write a piece arguing that forced standards on the car charging front might actually be a good idea. But that is absolutely separate from what Apple would do given the choice.
Well, I'm not convinced yet, and I haven't done enough reading, but off the cuff, I'll posit an opinion that I don't think the rate of charging is dependent on the station terminal. I think it's dependent on how fast the car design, the car battery design can absorb the current. So if you walked up to one of these, SAE 1772 terminals, there's no reason why it couldn't put out enough power to charge the battery at any rate the battery can absorb and charge you accordingly. So I don't think that using one of these standardized terminals locks Apple into the slow rate that's the current technology by other cars. The issue has to do with how fast the battery can absorb the amperage without overheating and be effectively charged. And if Apple can solve that problem, then you just pull up to one of these standard terminals and, you know, pull it all in. It's the Tesla unique battery design that allows it to charge so much faster. Is that not true?
Well, but I don't know enough to have an opinion, but there is definitely a proprietary connector that they use. I don't know if
that
proprietary
your amperage.
There's something about their proprietary connector that allows their batteries to charge faster. So when you go to a standard charging station and plug in your Tesla with that adapter, your car does not charge as fast.
Well, yeah, but I think there's enough flexibility in the design of that connector cable that new standards can be developed to push more current through. Let's see. I have to read this article, but I'm looking at, you know, numbers like 20 or 30. You know what? No, 80 amps in one design. I don't know. I have to look into this. But I, from a physicist standpoint, I don't see that this standard connector design was designed to limit the current or not allow for upgrades in the future. I'm pretty sure, and I always have an opinion about these things, that it's the battery technology that dictates how fast it can charge. And so until I'm proven wrong, I'll insist that using a standard connector is probably a good idea. And then, as Brian says, you know, an adapter, if they can work it out with Tesla to... You think Tesla would allow that? Have Apple sell a Tesla converter connector?
Money talks.
That's right. But I think Apple would do their own proprietary connector.
So suddenly they have access. If they did that, they have access to all the charging stations that use the standard connector and all the Teslas out of the box. Mm-hmm. They have to build their own charging stations.
Although I think
just really seems like Apple would do that, though.
Yeah,
it's part of the experience. By the way, it's fascinating that we could have such a vigorous argument about a product that Apple hasn't announced.
It's true. You know, we've like totally burned through our time. But before we wrap up, just real quick, there's another thing I wanted to hit. And Brian, you took a look at the news that Apple, or Eddie Q at least, pitched the idea to Apple of buying Time Warner Entertainment. And so I wanted your take on that real quick, and of course yours too, John.
All right, let me give you the short version. The short version is that we've got this report that Eddie offered Time Warner in a talk, in a meeting that had nothing to do with this. It was more of an off-the-cuff thing. Offered to buy the company, and probably didn't go anywhere. But Apple is, the other reports say, or other sources say, that Apple is very interested in buying a media company. So the idea, of course, would be that Apple buys a media company, and then it has content to launch its long-rumored, long-desired, long-sought-after streaming TV service that it can offer through Apple TV. And the interesting thing about that is that, you know, Rupert Murdoch already tried to buy Time Warner for $86 a share, which is a $60 billion deal when it was put forth. Mm-hmm. And Time Warner said no, even though that was a significant premium over its stock price today. So, you know, you got to think that Apple would probably have to pony up $70-80 billion to buy a company like Time Warner. So they could, obviously, right? They've got $216 billion. A lot of that money is overseas. Doesn't matter. Apple could borrow, as I put it in the piece, Apple could borrow money to buy a company like Time Warner till the cows come home. Just, you know, people would be lining up to say, please take my money to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's where things get kind of interesting. Apple's never made a purchase that big before, and it runs kind of antithetical to how Apple does purchases. When Apple buys a company, it integrates the technology and the people into its existing product lines. But if Apple was going to buy a media company, that would be different, because Apple doesn't need to incorporate the media company into Apple. Apple can mm-hmm. own a media company. That media company can continue to be run independently, but Apple, because Apple owns it, Apple gets the rights to do whatever the heck it wants to do with the content. And then the other thing is that Tim Cook very specifically said that he was open to making larger acquisitions than Apple has made in the past. Now, at the time when he said that at an analyst conference call. I was thinking, like, oh my goodness, does that mean like a big tech company? Because that could be a big change, and this is the kind of change that I don't want to see with Apple. I don't want to see Apple buying revenue streams. Mm-hmm. Again, this is different. Apple wouldn't be buying a revenue stream. It would essentially be buying rights and getting a profitable company that can operate on the side. And all of those things actually make a lot of sense. And I guess that this is precisely what Tim Cook had in mind when he said that he was open to making larger purchases than Apple has made in the past.
I agree with you, Brian, 100%. And there's another fallout here, too, in that these studios tend to reside on standards committees, whether it's 4K, HDR, what other technology transmissions standards, video compression standards, and that would make Apple more of a player and more indirectly, but benefiting from being a player in this industry as opposed to being an outsider that people were worried about. Everything you said is exactly right, and I agree with that completely. And Apple should do this. And you know, for years and years, people talked about Apple being more vertically integrated because they were trying to make money by selling other people's movies, being the man in the middle. And of course, Hollywood very smartly kept control. And we saw that manifested in Apple's unsuccessful bid to be the deliverer of a streaming subscription TV service. And I always kind of felt in my gut all along that if Apple was going to be in the business of providing music and providing movies and TV shows and entertainment, that they should have a stronger role in it and be more vertically integrated and be more plugged into the community. And so that's why I saw so many articles about, from analysts and observers suggesting that Apple acquire NBC Universal, Comcast, Time Warner, Video Entertainment over the years. And it's fascinating to me to finally hear that Apple was actually considering this at one time.
I'm sure that Apple's been considering it for a while. That said, if Apple buys a company like Netflix, right, it gets original content. It gets mm-hmm. studio producing original content. It gets the rights to that original content. But Apple would maintain the flexibility to continue to offer content from all sorts of content owners mm-hmm. without them being concerned about Apple being such a direct competitor as it would be if it owned something like a giant like Time Warner. And Time Warner is, in fact, a giant. So it's super interesting.
It is. Yes. And we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. But I'm glad that we wrapped up on a note where everyone's agreeing, because now we can go into the weekend, everyone happy, and you know, and that's a good thing. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for being here again this week. And we will see everyone again on Monday. No, not on Monday. Monday's Memorial Day. So we will see everyone again on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. We get a day off, don't we?
That's right. We all get a day off. All right.
Oh, finally.
Well, except for you, John.
Finally.
Except for you. All right. Everyone have an awesome 3-day weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday.